Welcome to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, influential leaders and their game-changing insights. I'm Jacqueline Stominger, CEO and founder of Leap to Your Success. That's leaptoyoursuccess.com. We help entrepreneurs, leaders, and CEOs grow their business, become unstoppable high achievers in their careers and life, gaining that 1% edge. We believe every professional has the power within them to leap to their greatest success that not only will impact their life, but the lives of the people they touch. So stick around to the end of the show and we will share with you how you can be our next guest. So stick around for those 15 to 20 minutes and let's be unstoppable. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast. I am your host, Jacqueline Stominger, and on this podcast, we hear from amazing leaders, their game-changing insights, and how we can create a greater impact in your leadership so that you are truly unstoppable. And today, I have an amazing guest, Dennis Mitter, and he, first of all, he lives in an amazing place. I have to just shout out about where he gets to live every day. But he is a legal marketing innovator. He empowers attorneys through podcasting. He is the founder of the Legal Podcast Network. He has over 20 years in digital marketing for professionals and, you know, obviously primarily attorneys. And he has truly pioneered in the legal marketing with over 20 years of experience, and he's truly passionate about revolutionizing, I can't speak today, how attorneys connect with their ideal clients. And as you know, all of this relates back so importantly to leadership and our teams. So Dennis, welcome to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I always enjoy getting to meet new people, find out a little bit about them, and then they let me talk a lot about me, and it works out fairly.
It does work out great. So, you know, when we first started, again, and listeners, you know, one of the key things that you will learn and hopefully take away by the end of this podcast is that knowledge is power. Knowledge is truly power, and powerful in our leadership and how we interact with people. So we were talking a little bit about this. So Dennis, share with the audience, you know, a little bit about you and how the Legal Podcast Network started and how it relates to leadership.
Oh, wow. Three-part question.
Yeah, three-part question.
I always tell my wife, if you give me three items when I go to the store, you got to put them on a piece of paper. So if I get to one and I forget, you got to swing. This brain can only keep two things at once, as well as everything else swirling around in it. So how did I get to where I am? So long story short, lifelong entrepreneur. First real kind of entrepreneurial undertaking at about 14. I tell this in every podcast, so people that watch my podcast regularly are going to be like, here we go. He was 14. He had the snow shoveling and lawn mowing and paper routes, and then he resold them. Like, I did all the management of it, and then my brother and his friends actually would do the work, and then I would collect the money, get the, you know, split the money with them, and it worked out well for me. So I started that at 14. That's how I made my money. We were in a private school, but we didn't have money as a family. We were the kind of family like church dropped off presents and you know, for Christmas and turkeys for Thanksgiving. That was our family, literally. So, but my mom, my stepmom was worked in the morning so we could go to a private school, which I'm thankful for that sacrifice she made, because those kids probably weren't always easy to put up with, me among them. And so we, you know, I learned, like, I'm with these kids, they got Jordans and they've got Bugle Boys, and you have to be old enough to know what that is, but you know, they've got all the cool clothes and all the nice stuff. And they shop at this place called Von Maur, which was like the Midwest equivalency of like a Nordstrom, not a Nordstrom Rack, but like a Nordstrom type level, place. And so we, but I had enough money to be able to kind of like keep my haircut nice, have the same shoes, have the clothes. And then that just kind of carried into adulthood. My first, so I was a youth pastor at 16, a pastor at 18, and I started my first LLC at 20, got married at 19. So I was like the world's youngest old man. And now I'm 47. And for the last 7 years, I've really been the world's like, I teasingly joke with people, I've been Benjamin Button in my life, because at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, I was a pastor. I didn't go out. I didn't like, you know, I was married. I had kids at starting at like 22. I always had one or two of my own companies, as well as pastoring a church or an evangelist or something like that. So just very busy in a lot of leadership roles. Then early 2000s, I switched to digital. I had been doing, you know, late 90s and stuff like that, more paper stuff, but I saw where everything was going with the internet. And then I got recruited to sell for a firm that was kind of like law, what is it called? Law Match, or whatever it's called, where essentially they pay a monthly fee and then they match them up with potential clients. And so I went from asking for $300 to $500 for an ad and, you know, making $150, $200 off of it, whatever, to asking for $5,000 a month from an attorney. And then I was kind of figuring out the margins pretty quick. And I was like, there's a lot of money in this. So I sort of, I was like, from then on, I was kind of sold working with attorneys. And so, you know, I've had social agencies, I've had text message game companies that did pretty well, that were fun. I've been able to take three companies from less than $1 million to $3 to $5 million within 1 to 3 years. And just throughout my entrepreneurial journey, learning lessons. I mean, you know, some people call them failures. Some people call you learn lessons, right? You know, how to pick partners. Or for me now, never again will I have another business partner. I've tried it three times. All three times I ended up holding the bag and they ended up holding the money that I made the company. So I a little over a year ago, my now former partner, instead of renewing our 5-year contract, bought me out at like our original term from 5 years before. I had taken the company from less than $1 million to $4 or $5 million. And so when he bought me out, I was like, 4 months from my wedding, 5 months. I was like, okay, what am I going to do? But I'm an entrepreneur. I have a book that I just write down business ideas that I come up with or things that I think of. And I just put that in there, and I can literally go to that book and flip through, and in about 30 minutes to an hour, be like, okay, here's my new business idea. Let's launch it. Let's go. And by the following Monday, have a site up and be selling the product. I took a little bit more time this time with everything going on with the wedding, but we launched the podcast network officially May 1st. So we'll be hitting a year here. I mean, I don't know when this will go out, but probably sometime around the time this goes out or here in the next few weeks. It's April 10th right now. And so we'll hit a year. We've got about 110, 115 clients, and we've got about 25 people on the team. So we've grown very fast. Matter of fact, people ask me, well, you know, how do you sustain growth? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, I push back growth right now. Like right now, I could sell more. Like I have people with books of businesses coming and saying, I've got 300 attorneys that work with me, and I want you to present your product to them. And I'm just like, okay, but you know, like, hey team, are we ready? If 75 people want to sign up next week, are we ready to handle that? And so trying to prepare my team for that sort of influx and things like that. So that's how I got where I'm at. And leadership, I think that was the last part. What does leadership have to do with this? I mean, whether I was forced into leadership because of the situation of my life, or I just always been a leader from the time I've been a kid. You know, I was a kid on the playground that made the rules of the game as we played, not because I was bullying anybody, but because I wanted everybody to be included. You know, I was the kid on, you know, in junior high that, you know, decided who sold this, what snacks. And, you know, like it's one of those things. I don't push for leadership, but I often end up in that position. And so for me, my leadership style has been one that is, I try to use to encourage people and to empower them, because what I've learned is you get a lot more from a team that's motivated, encouraged, and has clarity than you do from people who are afraid of you and are confused and are afraid to do something that might mess up and make you attack them. And so that's why I use that leadership style. And it's my natural style. Like I don't want to manage people who are motivated by fear. I want to manage I want to manage people who are motivated by success or feeling like they did well or the team success or whatever. So yeah. I hope that answers all three parts.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. That was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, and I, you know, so listeners, I really want you to hear and really want to emphasize, you know, leadership is, you know, there's a few things, great nuggets, but encouraging, empowering, and helping people really, you know, not be led by something of fear, but really just encouraging people. And that is so important in business. And so I'm curious. So Dennis, you know, you said, you know, you started, you know, 14, you're obviously a natural leader, and it's something that not necessarily that was taught. It's just how you operate. As you said, you want to include people in there. What do you think it is about, you know, when you're thinking back, like, what is it, you know, that when you're thinking of that first team that you created with, you know, your brothers, you know, and that business and you're managing it, what helped you be that leader to bring them together and to get them excited? Like,
I mean, at the time it was like, the way it started was me, my brother and his best friend were knocking on doors to do snow shoveling. Cause a friend of mine had said, "Hey man, I made like $100 in a day snow shoveling." I was like, "Oh, that's crazy." You know? So we started out and I figured out quickly that they didn't mind the shoveling, but they hated knocking on the doors and asking people and getting rejected. And so once I realized this is what they don't like doing, and this is the part that I mind the least, like, I hate this, you know, like, screw this, like, shoveling somebody's, you know, snow. Like, I'll go knock on 1,000 doors before I'll shovel one walk. And my brother's like, "I'll shovel 1,000 walks before I knock on one more door." And I was like, "This works for me." So we get to, you know, we're about an hour in, we're freezing cold. We get to the next door and it's, I think, my brother's friend's turn. And he's like, "I don't want to do it," because we had done like 3 walks in the hour and I had gotten all 3 of them. And so my brother's like, "I don't want to do it." I was like, "Okay, I'll do it." So I go up, I knock on the door, "Hey, blah, blah, blah," you know, and I learned, like, with door-to-door stuff, you always got to have a little story. So, like, "Hey, me and my brother and his friends were just trying to earn money. You know, like, we go to a private school. So, like, we have some certain things that our family isn't able to do, but, you know, and it was true. Like, the money was going to me so I could have nice school clothes like the other kids at private school, you know? Like, when I was selling candy bars in front of the grocery store, it was like, for sports equipment, well, the sports equipment was the Jordans that all the other kids had, that my parents are like, "These are the $20, you know, shoes that you get from Kmart," where my stepmom was the shoe manager. They're like, "These are the shoes you get." And I'm like, "I can't wear those in front of a whole team of kids wearing Jordans," you know? So, but I went up there. She said, "Sure, $20. So she handed me a 10 and 2 fives. I walked down. I handed my brother $5. I handed his friend $5. I put $10 in my pocket. And I said, "I got a great idea, guys." And like, "What?" And I'm like, "You stay here and do this. And by the time you get done, so we don't waste any more time, I'll start knocking and get the next job for you. And you can just go from job to job to job and we'll just make money and we won't have any breaks unless we want to." And they're like, "Oh, that's great." Cause now they're thinking like, so I emphasize the, "We're going to make more money," not, "Hey, all I have to do is knock on doors and make half the money. And you guys got to do all the work and make a quarter of the money each." So and that's kind of how it just grew from there. Like, all the kids in the neighborhood were like, "I mean, I want a lawn mowing job, but how do I get one?" And I'd be like, "I'll get you. How many do you want? 4? And I'd go get 4 lawn mowing jobs and then I'd collect it. And then, you know, I got all the paper routes and, you know, I just make sure I go collect everybody. And I'd say, "Well, how are we doing?" You know, and they, "Oh, you guys getting here on time? Okay, great." If I had somebody who wasn't doing right, I'd say, "Hey, do I need to give your route to somebody else?" Like, it just, I didn't think about it. It wasn't something where I didn't sit down and, you know, the 14-year-old entrepreneur's guide to running a business 101. I didn't know of any such book.
No, but you know, but there's a couple of key things that you did, and that again, listeners, this is such a key, huge takeaway, is that you got to know your strengths. Your strength was knocking on the door. You pulled out what each person in that team or in the people that you were quote unquote employing liked to do. Knocking on the doors takes courage, right? And it takes some, a little yeah. bit. right? And it takes a skill of being an eloquent, knowing how to speak and tell a story, and almost, you know, so that was knowing that strength of yours, and whether you realize it or not, right? So you played on that. And then when someone said to you, oh, how do I get those? I can get them for you. You just need to do the part that you want to do, which is mow the lawn.
Exactly.
So
we really, one of the thing principles I teach in my company is the more that people are doing the thing that only they can do, the better our company is.
Yeah.
And we hire, like, we have VAs in the Philippines, and we have graphics people in Pakistan. We have a number of people, about 10, 15 people in the US. And like, when I find out that somebody in the US is doing something that's like taxing, and it's like a spreadsheet or just digging through data, I'm like, why are you doing that? Couldn't so-and-so do that? Like, that's why we have VAs, and that's why we have these people that do these jobs. I want you doing what you do, what I hired you to do. If you're my content director, I want you working on content for our clients. If you're doing client success, I want you face-to-face with the clients. I don't want you doing this other stuff. And sometimes that's just all I do. Even my sales guys, they don't even enter into the CRM themselves. They have a Slack channel. It's not Slack. We have our own Discord server just to kind of have more fun. But they just Discord, and they're just like, hey, Jenny, can you, you know, so-and-so, I just called them. Can you mark this, blah, blah, blah. And then they just move right on. And so everything is frictionless. Everything is stay in the thing that you can do. What can I do for the company? And I knew this, like, in the beginning, it was bringing clients. And until January, I brought in the clients. So I think we hit almost 85 clients or so by then. And that was me being the only salesperson while running the company, while creating systems, while doing everything else. But I also know that a bigger thing that I can do for the company is be an evangelist for it. Go on podcasts, create my own podcasts, build relationships, meet with referral partners, you know, create better content. All of these things that only I can do, like my team, no one else in the company can be me in the way that I'm doing these things. So my team has empowered me to do that by stepping in. We have 3 salespeople now, so I don't sell anymore. By stepping in, and we have, you know, people that do other aspects, and I just work on the business instead of in the business. And that makes all the difference in the world.
You know, again, that's a huge game-changing insight, right? To be able to get to the point where, as a leader, you're working on the business, or if you're leading a team, you're on the team, you're leading the team, you're not, yes, you need to get in and do, you know, be a player in the, you know, and be a player on the team. But if you're running it, you don't want to be in the weeds too. You've got to be, you know, almost like setting up here.
The coach isn't the backup goalie.
Right.
The coach stays off the side of the field, and he says, hey, watch out right there, right there, right there. Come on, let's go. You know, that's a coach. Right. I see myself as a motivator, a mentor, a coach, not a business leader, CEO, founder, although that's the titles that are put on. Like, right. Me, if people say, what are you? I'm a motivator. I love to mentor people. I love to coach people. If I can't help people by doing those 3 things, they're only motivated by fear, then I usually end up saying, listen, like, I don't manage by fear. And every time that you fall off, I have to threaten you. It just isn't a good fit, because I want people that are motivated by positivity and goals and all of those things.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I think is so important as a leader to be able to understand to do, you know, so, you know, it's leading by fear does not ever make anybody feel good. And so being able to be that cheerleader, coach, the mentor, the person that's like getting people excited about the work that they are doing, it's really exciting, because people will want to do more when they're feeling empowered and feeling good and wanting to work. So your business, tell us a little bit about how this all plays into what you do for your business and your clients.
So what we do is pretty intricate, and we had to create a system, because in the beginning, you know, we went from spreadsheet tracking our projects to Monday tracking our projects to I forget, Time Work, or I forget what it was called. And then now we're using ClickUp, and we're actually using a company with helping us with customization on that project management. And like, a client has, from the moment they say yes until the time that their 4-month cycle rounds with us, has somewhere around 303 steps in our process.
Wow.
Just the onboarding to the first episode alone is like over 100. And so, you know, this person, we got a QA. So like, for example, let's take, you know, like we'll take, they do the podcast shoot. Let's just take a simple 30-minute podcast shoot, 7 to 10 questions. Then that takes about 17 to 21 minutes at the end of seven. Then we cut that. We take that 17 to 21 minutes. We put an intro. We put an outro. We put transitions. We make it look all nice. It's got all of their branding. We then take that. We put it on YouTube. We put it on LinkedIn. We put it on other video. We then pull the audio, put the intro, outro, you know, did all the editing, the audio, scrubbing, all of that. Put that on all of the different audio outlets. Okay. That's just the beginning, because now we're going to create 30 pieces of content, one per day if they're doing one episode a month, two per day if they're doing two episodes a month, or three posts per day if they're doing four episodes a month. And that is one post per day on up to 10 different outlets. So we're talking about Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Threads, Blue Sky, X, Twitter, Pinterest is a big one. So it's like all of these places that we post all of their content. Plus we take that. So we make reels, which are like minute or less videos. Yep. We're all familiar with those. Then we make audiograms, which is like a static. And then it kind of just has the thing come across. And I know, you know it, but I'm, you know, maybe people here aren't as familiar. And then just regular static posts as well. Hey, go check out episode 12. We then build them like a link tree. And all of our clients have one call to action. Click on link in bio. And that always applies to everything. If we say, check us out on iTunes, click on link in bio. They look down the link tree. There's the Apple podcast. So we have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 30 links down there, all their social, their website, everything. So we're able to take 30 minutes of an attorney's time and create an evergreen show that gives them 30 days worth of content. So that's how we apply that. It's a whole process. You know, and we've gotten better. We started off with 3 pieces of content per episode, but AI and getting better within our systems and more systematized we've gone from 3 pieces to 33 pieces. So an 11x in less than a year delivery, with our product, just because of adapting to AI, learning how to use AI, getting better with it, and then also refining our own internal processes so we can produce more. I always say better, faster, less friction.
Right.
If we're seeking to do those 3 things, we want to do everything better, we want to do everything faster, and we want less friction for our clients. We want it to be easy for them to sign up with us. We want it to be easy for them to find us. We want it to be easy for them to work with us consistently. We want it to be easy for them to shoot the podcast. We want this to feel like, how is this marketing? I thought marketing was way harder than this, is what I want them to think. But in the meantime, I've got me and my team just going, you know, we're like the guy at the Japanese steakhouse, you know, the knives are spinning and we're cracking eggs on spatulas and throwing shrimp into people's mouth. And they're just sitting there like, what a show. This is great. But somebody's moving fast and somebody's working hard.
Right. And actually, and you're probably doing it, you're not nearly sweating as much.
Well, yeah, we're not standing over a hot grill. Right.
It's really amazing the amount that you're actually able to produce. And obviously, you know, obviously we have these, you know, we have attorneys who are, you know, they're using the time wisely, right?
Yeah.
30
yeah,
I mean, minutes it's, of time, you know, which is really great.
Yeah. I mean, they're just using a little bit of their time. And that's the other thing, you know, people with money buy time. And so that's what we're selling. Like, yes, we're selling quality. I have an amazing team. This thing turned off. I turned it on too early. So we're just going to pretend like it still looks pretty back there. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Oz.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, we're able to deliver a lot, but with very little of their time. And I mean, to me, that's a winning formula for any business. If I'm saving people who want their time saved and delivering a product that then on top of that returns a return on an investment of, you know, 5 to 1. Like, I mean, I have one guy who just told me, yeah, I just met with him this morning. As a matter of fact, first thing he said, you know, he said through the podcast already, I've only released like a 2 or 3 episodes. He said, I've already built a relationship where this one relationship is going to pay for this podcast for the whole year. If nothing else happens, the podcast is paid for. And he's like, he does a weekly show. So he hasn't even done a month's worth of shows yet. And he's already paid for it.
That's really fantastic. You know, and a key, you know, a couple of really key things here. It's, you know, when I think about this, I mean, I'm loving what you're doing for your clients and what you're able to provide them, but it's also being able to deliver something with quality and provide great service, which as a leader, we need to do that for the people that are on our team. I share, and I say this often, that our team members are, and the people that we employ, they are team members. They are not employees. They're part of the team and we work together. We partner with them. So, you know, it's, you're delivering on that service and helping people have, you know, elevate their businesses, generate more income. And you're doing the same thing for the people that are your team members. And it is so important in that within leadership for people to be able to see that. And you're providing such a great example and, you know, for people that are in, that are coming into, you know, your realm, so to speak.
And I mean, one of the things I do when with my team is when I'm first meeting with them, I ask them, I say, realistically, now we all want to make $1 million a year. I get it. But realistically, what do you need to make per year to live the life you want to live? And once I find out that number, and if it's realistic, I say to them, okay, well, we're not there yet, but I think we can get there in about this amount of time, assuming that you show value and you grow. And if we can get you into this position, then we can put you to where you're making that sort of income. I have 5 or 6 people that a year ago were making a few $100 a week are now making a few $1,000 a week working with me. So they went from just like, okay, I'm trusting you, like I'm making this work. And if I need to take an evening, like literally, because I was starting from scratch at that time, I didn't, you know, like, I mean, I had a little bit of money, but like, I didn't have anybody say, here's $1 million, you know, you got burned. Like I internally funded, just started it from scratch, you know? So those people now, like a year ago, they were saying like, I need to make this much. And now like one guy a year ago, he started off in like a, kind of like a junior sales under me. He was the one helping set my appointments. And I told him flat out, I was like, listen, like, I want to get you up to sales because, you know, you're not where you want to be living. You want to live in a better situation. You're having to take the bus or get Ubers everywhere. You don't have a car. You know, I can't imagine you are where you want to be in life right now. And he was just like, no, dude, like, and you know, you could tell he was discouraged. And I was like, listen, I know that you're good and you can do this, but you've got to believe me. You've got to trust me and you've got to allow me to help you. He's like, I'll do whatever, man. Like, and he's like mid 30s, you know, not a young, young guy. And he's like, I'll do whatever, man. Like, I know you, your reputation. I trust you. So here we are. Like I said, a year ago, he's making $400, $500, $600 a week. Here we are a year later. This guy's making $2,500. A couple times made $3,000, $3,500 in 1 week. So he'll probably make somewhere around $120 to $150 this year. He's never made over $40,000 in his life. And so.
Wow. Yay.
And so
that's
those
awesome.
Are the stories
right.
that I get excited about. Like, yep. And I can talk about my clients too, but like, that is where I look at it. And I'm just like, that's why I do this.
Yeah.
Because I get to see other people. And it's like, sometimes I sit down and like, I'm going to try not to get emotional, but like, I just sit down and I think, dude, like something in my fucking head, I just thought this would work well. There are now 25 people who literally their whole lives depend on it. And it's already starting to provide a decent living for me and mine. And within a year, I'll be back ahead of where I was with my old business partner that it took me 5 years to build up to. And I'm just like, that's the day and age we live in. That's the market that we live in. That's the opportunities that we have. I don't know that everybody can do something like this, but let me say this, I failed enough at it to know that if I quit because I failed, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Yeah. You know, this, Dennis, I love what you're doing and I love your heart. And I think that's also one of the key things about, I just kind of want to, you know, listeners have heart and get to know the people on your team and what do they want? I talk about that a lot. Like I'm a big believer in like knowing your mission, but know the mission and the vision of the people that are in your fold. Because if you know that, you will help them soar and it comes back to you like tenfold. Like I can see it in your face and in your, like how much that really matters to you. And that's the impact that a great leader, so I'm going to call you a great leader, great leaders make. It's we're, you know, if we can impact people positively, it's just going to make for a better world. I hate to say that. It's like,
absolutely. Even if it's just our own world, our own sphere of influence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, yeah. I mean, absolutely. And I think that, you know, and I mentioned this in another podcast. I don't know how long we're going, so I'm going to just keep going, but until you tell me we're done. Yeah. But like, one of the things that I try to do is like, I remember having management at different times. And I remember the dreaded, hey, can you meet with me for a few minutes later on? Like, and you're like, oh, great. Am I going to get fired? Am I going to get this? I've made it a habit to where 75% of the time, at least, when I pull people aside, it's because I want to praise them and give them something. And so I'll be like, hey, I just wanted to let you know, so-and-so and so-and-so in your division has come to me and told me how awesome of a job you're doing, how hard you're working. I want to let you know I appreciate it. Do you have, can you do Amazon in your country or no, it's this. Okay. Well, I'm going to send you $50 on Amazon or whatever. And just let you know that you're being noticed and the team notices it. So there's a atmosphere, not of just me looking, but my whole team looking around and then praising each other and then bringing it to me and being, especially my directors, because I have three directors that they're kind of boots on the ground of being like, who is doing an extra, you know, who's really going above and beyond. We just set a goal by June 1st to hit 150 clients. If we do, I'm going to give away $1,500, $750, $500, and $250. Everybody in the company is eligible. They have their minimum daily work that they have already anyway. And so if they do that minimum daily, they get an entry. But then there's also above and beyond opportunity. So-and-so sick, so you pick up extra work, or you're a host and you step in at the last minute, whatever it is. Those, they get three entries. And then come June 1st, if we've hit our 150, I'm going to draw three names. Someone's going to get 250, someone's going to get 500, someone's going to get 750. And so my whole company now is going 150, 150, 150. I better not mess this up, because if we lose a client, that's another client we got to win. You know, and so all across the whole thing, they're just all looking to the same thing. Instead of just like normal day, back to work, do the minimum so I can come go home and watch TV. You know, like, no, that's not the mind frame. It's just like, we want to get there, because 750 might not be a huge amount to me and you, but to somebody in Pakistan or somebody in the Philippines or in South Africa, to give them an extra $750, that is a lot of money for them. And even here in the States, like if I just said, here's 750, you wouldn't be like, I can't be bothered to bend over and pick that up. You know, like you'd be like, nice, I'll take it. You know, you can do something nice with that. Right. And so like, that's the kind of stuff. It's like getting your team all on the same page, leading with kindness. I mean, I think is in essence what you've said. Yep. Yeah. Leading with kindness and in kindness and being clear where the company is, where it's going, allowing all of your teams, because I've worked with people who they isolate the teams and they play them against each other. And I'm just like, all of those games that people try to play with other people. And it's like, sure, you can take people who maybe aren't, their IQ isn't as many points as yours, and you can kind of have your like sick little fun. But like, at the end of the day, like, what are you really accomplishing by playing your own people against each other?
Doesn't work.
You know? Yeah. So
that's, I love what you just shared. I'm like, such a, it's again, another great insight. And key thing is when you get everybody on the same vision and mission working together, the team works together better and they all bubble up, everything bubbles up. So Dennis, you have just done a great information and shared some amazing insights. How can our listeners connect with you, learn more about your company, get more of your wisdom? Where do they go?
Sure. So probably the easiest is going to be LinkedIn. If you're a LinkedIn, which most of us are anymore, it's almost like we have to be, there's no choice there. But LinkedIn, I share some videos. I share kind of some like business, like insights on like how I think about things, like what it means being a business owner, all that sort of stuff from doing it for as long as I have now. So that's probably the easiest way is LinkedIn. And then our company, thelegalpodcastnetwork.com. Testimonials. We've got a section on there for, we actually have two sets of podcasts that we do. We do podcasts for attorneys about how to run their business and market it. And we actually partner up with people in the industry that are specialists. We have a show that we just signed in, actually two shows that we just signed into production. So right now we've got a guy who's like an AI specialist to help run a firm. We've also got a lady who's a certified financial professional for individual attorneys. Now we're bringing on a fractional CFO for law firms. And we're bringing on a lady who basically teaches lawyers how to effectively speak on camera. And so just, I want to have about 20 shows like that, where we call them sponsored shows. And so we have about 20 shows like that that just give tons of really great info to our clients. I'm developing a show like that called Building Authority Through Media. BAM is the name of it. It's superhero themed, like comic book Batman from the 60s sort of vibe to it. And every week it's going to be the dynamic duo and me and whoever is my guest. We're a team fighting against conquering sameness is the theme of the show.
I love it.
So we're all conquering sameness on LinkedIn, conquering sameness on Facebook, conquering sameness on our website, whatever it is in marketing. How are we conquering sameness? So, you know, that'll be on our site soon enough as well, but check us out on our website, check us out on the socials. If you look up Legal Podcast Network, at Legal Podcast Network, we've got three or four Instagrams because we've got one just for attorneys with like kind of bits from our shows. One that is .answers, which is for people who aren't attorneys, but our attorneys create that content. One that's .lolz. So we're doing like lawyer memes just to kind of engage with them on a different sort of like in a different way. Yeah. So we're like just creating all these lawyer memes and
have fun with it
and, you know, make those connections. So yeah, any of those places, just look up Legal Podcast Network. You should be able to find us, or YouTube, all of the outlets. We're everywhere. We are, what do I say? Outlet agnostic.
Okay.
So
I love it.
Find Absolutely. Us everywhere.
Yeah. No, I love it. So listeners, if you have found this episode worthwhile and you've gotten some great nuggets, which I'm sure you have, do me a favor, please, and hit subscribe. Also, make sure you go and connect with Dennis on all the socials and check out all of his stuff. He's obviously a great wealth of information. And please share the podcast as well with your friends and colleagues. And as we can make better leaders, we make a better world. And that is what we all want. Great leaders, great life, great people. So I am Jacqueline Strominger, the host of Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight Podcast. Thank you for being a great guest, Dennis. And thank you, listeners, for listening in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. Jacqueline Strominger, and I want to thank you so much for listening to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, Influential Leaders and Their Game-Changing Insights podcast. If you are a successful CEO, entrepreneur, or leader in your industry, and you have insights you would like to share, we want you to be a guest on this program. So please visit go.leaptoyoursuccess.com/podcast. And if you have gotten something out of this interview and you'd like to share the episode on social media, just go ahead and take a screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know somebody who would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show and include the hashtag Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. So we regularly are putting out new episodes and content. So please make sure you don't miss any episodes and go ahead and hit subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean so much to me and my team. You want to know more about the podcast or about Leap to Your Success? Just go to the website leaptoyoursuccess.com or follow me, Jacqueline Strominger, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Just plug in my name, Jacqueline, that's J-A-C-L-Y-N, dot Strominger, S-T-R-O-M-I-N-G-E-R, and follow me on all the socials. So thank you so much for listening, and remember, be unstoppable.